You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey, HSM. If you don't know me, I'm Anna. Like Claire said, I am the HSM intern, but I'm also one of the senior girls' life group leaders here. And thank you, Grace. And I am super excited to be able to come up here and chat with you guys, probably more so than I ever have been about anything else that I've spoken about, and continue our series at the table where we take a look at different times that Jesus has shared a meal with somebody in the Bible. Tonight, we're going to take a deep dive into Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, which is all about a man named Zacchaeus, which it's brought to my attention that some people say Zacchaeus instead of Zacchaeus. I don't know which one is right. So if I interchange between them, it's the same person. But like I was saying, I'm super excited about it. Over the past couple weeks, I have had the chance to reflect, do some research, look at some different commentaries, and even look at some Sunday school little kid, like quick, I don't know what you call it, crash course videos about Zacchaeus, which have been super interesting, and I actually learned a lot about, which I was not expecting. But hey, I'm here for it, and I suggest you guys look at them if you are reading a passage and you don't quite understand it, because they really explain it well. But anyways, there's a lot to unpack, so if you guys would join me in turning to Luke 19 in your Bibles. Like I said, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the entirety of it, and then we're going to go back section by section and break down each of them kind of exegetical style, and really just take a deep dive into them. And if you don't have a Bible, turn to your life group leader or look for Claire or Gavin, and we can get you one so that you can follow along, but also so you have a Bible. We have tons of them, and we want each and every one of you to have one at your disposal. So be sure to do that. Anyways, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. If you follow along, let's get into it. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." There is a lot there in such a short amount of passage, if that's the best way to describe it, in comparison to some other passages within Luke. And I want to state the obvious, even though our series is called At the Table, we are not looking at Jesus sharing a meal with Zacchaeus in this passage, but there is still transformative encounter with Christ. So let's look more at the details. Going back to Luke 19:1-2, it says, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy." So I'm going to kind of break this down in my film major little mind. But right off the bat, we were told where this story will be taking place and who the characters are. And these are two major elements in any story that is ever going to be told, because it helps us understand what the whole situation is. And without any of these, you can't really make sense of the situation. So we know where it takes place, Jericho, and we also know the characters, Jesus and Zacchaeus. Starting with the setting where it takes place, we are told that they are in Jericho, which when you look at Luke as a whole or throughout the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and Jericho was a city that he had to pass through in order to get to Jerusalem. And back in biblical times, Jericho was considered a wealthy city due to its abundance of natural resources, such as water and fertile land, which produced a lot of other resources that made it popular among trade and made it wealthy, not just in its resources, but in its economy, which attracted people from all over, making it a very populous place. From there, we know that this passage is about Jesus, who we all know, the Messiah, Son of God, later to die on the cross as the greatest sacrifice for our sins so that we're able to have a close and deeply personal relationship with God. And then we meet Zacchaeus, and we learn two things about him. He is the chief tax collector, and he is wealthy. Being chief tax collector meant that he held a higher status than all other tax collectors in Jericho. And basically, he told what the other tax collectors were supposed to do, and he profited from it. So he was kind of like the CEO of biblical times, Jericho Amazon, except nobody got anything in exchange for the money that he got from them. So they got nothing, but he got all the profit, which meant he was wealthy and had an abundance of possessions that he did not need. And if you turn with me to 1 Timothy 6, verses 8 through 10, it says, "But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." This passage literally tells us that the abundance of anything can be detrimental to us. For example, money. If somebody has more than they need, they risk becoming susceptible to relying on themselves. They begin to believe that they can control the outcome of any situation, and that they can buy happiness or satisfaction through these worldly possessions. But we know this is not the truth. Which leads us to our first point. True happiness and satisfaction is found only through Christ. I'm going to say that again. True happiness and satisfaction is found only through Christ. Thank you, Kenneth. I said true happiness and satisfaction is found only through Christ, not through what we own, how much money we have, how others see us, or even how we see ourselves. So we have to lean into and trust the Lord with who he says we are, which are his children. Then, and only then, can we begin to understand and fully feel the fullness of satisfaction and happiness that the Lord promises us, which I'll get into in another section or two. And this leads us in to verses 6 through, or 3 through 6 in Luke 19. And it reads, "He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." So what is this saying? I think probably the funniest part of this passage, but also low-key an important detail, is that Zacchaeus was short. He also went above and beyond to go and see Jesus, quite literally, because of the big crowd. He had to go out and climb up to see him, which was more than he had to do unless he really wanted to see Jesus. So he sought Jesus out. And Jesus also knew Zacchaeus was there. He called him down, and Jesus insisted that he stayed at Zacchaeus' house, which Zacchaeus gladly did. And why is this important? Zacchaeus' height, while at first glance may seem like a minor detail that can be looked over, if we look through the Bible, the height of someone is only really mentioned a handful of times and is often in relation to how others view that person. For example, in the story of David and Goliath, David is described as a small man while Goliath is described as a giant. People thought of Goliath as a force to be reckoned with or fearing him, whereas David was not so much. In this story, Zacchaeus was described as short, which makes a lot of sense when we take a look at who he was. Like we said earlier, a chief tax collector and wealthy. He literally took people's money to make money. His wealth was at the expense of others. People did not like him. He was looked down upon, literally, and was greatly disliked by the people of Jericho. And I'm sure while he was in the crowd, people were taking any chance they could get to kind of shove him and make it obvious that they did not like him. Because Zacchaeus was an outcast. Because of his height, he had to make a great effort to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus was in the tree, and he stopped in front of the tree before he even saw him. And we know there was a whole crowd of people trying to see, speak, and even touch Jesus. Yet he did not stop for them, call them by name, or insist that he stay at their home. Jesus sought Zacchaeus out. Which brings us to our next point, that Jesus calls us to seek out the outcasts. Much like how Jesus sought out Zacchaeus when he was in the fig tree, he tells us to do the same. And this will look different for everyone because depending on where you are, who you are, and a variety of different factors, so-called outcasts look different everywhere we go, and everyone has a different idea of who an outcast may be. For some, it may be friends, family members, different neighbors, or just random people out in the community and the streets that you see. And when reading this passage and thinking about my own experience, I couldn't help but to think about a mission trip that I had gone on when I was in high school, and how my interactions with people who were deemed as outcasts completely changed the trajectory of my life. So when I was in high school, my youth group went on a mission trip to Vancouver, British Columbia. If you don't know where that is, it's in Canada. I know the British Columbia part can get a little bit confusing, but it's right above Washington State. And as Blake so kindly said earlier, I lived half of my adolescent life up in Washington. I went to high school there. That's where my youth group was. So this mission trip wasn't too far, but it was still deeply impactful for me. And I think we have a photo of my youth group. Yeah, really small. Really small. It's a size maybe even smaller than some of your guys' life groups. And I am this one right there. I don't think I look too different, but that was a part of my youth group. There's probably a couple people missing. But yeah, it was really cool to go on this mission trip. It was a week long. We did a couple different things throughout the week. And one of those days was extremely moving, and like I said earlier, it really changed things for me and put a lot into perspective. On this day, we went to downtown Vancouver, which is where this photo is taken, after we had gone through this experience. And to kind of set the scene, there are two very distinct sides of downtown Vancouver. There's an east side and a west side. It kind of sounds like a high school rivalry or something. But the west side is full of businesses and corporate offices, shopping centers, universities, and overall is just very well maintained and considered fairly safe, while the east side is the complete opposite. And I don't really know like how to put into words to best describe it, but it is full of pain and brokenness throughout each and every block. Up and down the streets, you see people experiencing homelessness, using substances, and experiencing really deep physical, mental, and emotional health issues. The city of Vancouver saw that these people were kind of scattered all over both the east and the west side, and one year they decided to shove all these people to the east side. And so quite literally, I do not have photos, and if I did, I don't think I'd show them. But if you're walking just like down normal streets, there is not an inch of sidewalk where there's somebody not sitting. Like there's somebody on every single part of the sidewalk that you're walking down just in really deep just turmoil. And so the city, instead of trying to help these people, they just shoved them aside. And they were kind of like deemed as outcasts by the general public and deemed as too far gone. So on this mission trip, we spent 4-ish hours on the streets of the east side of downtown Vancouver in groups of 3 or 4. And our task was just to go and have conversations with these people and to share a meal that we had previously packed where we were staying with one of them, which is very fitting for this series, At the Table, where we're looking at people that share meals with Jesus. But our goal was not necessarily to talk about Jesus or share our testimonies, but rather to love them by showing up and acknowledging their existence and their worth, which, given their circumstances, did not happen often. While we were conversing with these people, there was one man in particular who really stood out, and in all honesty, like I keep saying, really changed the trajectory of my life and deeply impacted me and my faith. Like I wrote, literally, I think I wrote every single college essay on this one encounter. This man's name was Alejandro. He was maybe in his early to mid-30s, and at this point, he had been experiencing homelessness since he was in his early 20s. And while we were speaking with him, we just got to learn more about him, his situation, and how it was incredibly hard to get off the streets once you were on them, and how it was so easy to lose hope for a better future when you find yourself in these circumstances. However, in the midst of his brokenness and struggle, he was kind and intentional. He made it a point to ask about us and get to know us as much as we were getting to know him. And while our conversations with other people didn't end up circling back to Jesus, this one did. He simply asked us why we were doing this and why we were so kind to someone like him. To put it in short, we said it was because of Jesus and how he calls us to love others unconditionally, just as Jesus does for us. Alejandro then said that he didn't deserve it because he was not a good person and that he had done bad things in his life, which then led us to telling him that he was worthy of this kindness and that's exactly why Jesus died on the cross, so that he would be forgiven and he would be seen as worthy. After this encounter, Alejandro accepted Jesus into his heart, which was really cool and unexpected. But that is because we sought after him because we knew that Jesus was seeking after him. He saw us and experienced God's love that day, and his life was changed. Now, obviously, we did not get to see the fruits of that interaction, so it's hard to say what happened, which is always the hardest part about mission trips for me. But still to this day, I do pray for him, and I really do hope that Alejandro is seeking after the Lord and that he found himself in a better situation. But again, hard to say, so all we can really do is continue to pray. And if you are here tonight and you feel like an outcast, I really want you all to know that you are not too far gone and you are called worthy in the eyes of the Lord and that you are so, so loved. And if you're here and you don't feel like an outcast, The Lord calls us to seek outcasts and to be quick to love and slow to judge, kind of like how he also says, be slow to anger. Which leads us into our next section. So if you would look back at Luke, we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. It says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So what is this telling us? Zacchaeus was greatly disliked by everybody in Jericho because he was wealthy, but also because, as I mentioned earlier, he took things from others unfairly. In our society, some people dislike others because of their wealth, because of their political parties, or for their social status, and the list can go on. But needless to say, we live in a world of Zacchaeuses, and we are not the exception to that. In verse 8, we see that Zacchaeus took steps into showing others that he was changed because of Jesus and took accountability for his sins. And then in verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Because of this encounter with Christ, someone who was once lost was brought home. And I want to emphasize that lost does not mean doomed, but rather it means in the wrong place. And Jesus seeks to bring what is wrongly placed back to where it belongs. It means someone who has wandered away from God and being found is being guided back to the rightful place with the Lord. Which leads us to our last fill-in for the night, which is when we encounter Christ, we experience total transformation. Like I said, we are all Zacchaeuses because we are holding on to something that we think is so important to who we are, whether it be a sin, a possession, or even how others might see us. At the feet of Jesus, we are called to let go of those identifiers we hold on to. The only thing that is important at the end of the day is that God calls us his sons and his daughters who are made in his image. When we let go of the things that we hold on to, much like Zacchaeus and his possessions, we are able to find peace and transformation in Christ. And I want to read to you guys 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 18. If I can find it. Okay. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Sorry, words? These are really tiny. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We saw that Zacchaeus encountered Christ and that his life was completely transformed and he gave away half of his possessions. So as we go into life groups and continue the rest of the night, I'm challenging you all to think deeply about and to pray about how the Lord might be calling you to let go of those things you might be holding on to, whether it be a physical possession, a habit, a belief, or something that you deeply identify with. Because Jesus wants transformation in you, just like he totally transformed Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy in every day. Lord, we just pray that as we think about and we reflect on things that we may be holding on to, that we can fully surrender it to you, Lord, and listen to what you say that we are, Lord. You are so good and you're so kind. It is in your holy and mighty name. Amen.